Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. I'm Bob, and I'm sharing today from a book that's available at Amazon.com that I put together regarding the rapture or catching up of the saints. I'm addressing the particular theory that's been around now for about 200 years. It's been made popular via books and movies, even the teachings of some very outstanding scholars. It's called the pre-tribulation rapture. I do not represent any church or denomination in the contents of this book, but I believe that the information that I've been sharing and will share is going to make you think twice about this popular teaching. At least I do hope so. Today we're calling to the virtual witness stand, a virtual witness, Corrie ten Boom. She's been gone from us on the planet for quite some time now, but It's important that we hear her words. Now, you know that in some cases in our virtual trial, I've kind of put some words in people's mouth. I haven't changed their actual opinions. I know what they believed, and so I used my knowledge of their beliefs and put words there. That's not what I'm doing here with Corrie ten Boom. I'm going to be giving you her actual words. Listen carefully to this. Thank you for joining us, Ms. ten Boom. Would you read for us today a letter that you wrote to America's pastors in 1974, when Hal Lindsey and the Thief in the Night movies were influencing so many to believe that the suffering of the tribulation was not for them? And she might say, yes, with pleasure. I wrote this from China, by the way, which has been historically no friend to the people of God. Now, here are her actual words in a letter to pastors, 1974. The world is deathly ill. It is dying. The great physician has already signed the death certificate. Yet there is still a great work for Christians to do. They are to be streams of living water, channels of mercy to those who are still in the world. It is possible for them to do this because they are overcomers. Christians are ambassadors for Christ. They are representatives from heaven to this dying world. And because of our presence here, things will change. My sister, Betsy, and I were in the Nazi concentration camp at Ravensbrück because we committed the crime of loving Jews. 700 of us from Holland, France, Russia, Poland, and Belgium were herded into a room that was built for 200. As far as I knew, Betsy and I were the only two representatives of heaven in that room. We may have been the Lord's only representatives in that place of hatred, and yet, because of our presence there, things changed. Jesus said, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We too are to be overcomers, bringing the light of Jesus into a world filled with darkness and hate. Sometimes I get frightened as I read the Bible, and as I look in this world and see all of the tribulation and persecution promised by the Bible coming true. Now I can tell you, though, if you too are afraid, well, I can tell you that I've just read the last pages. I can now come to shouting hallelujah, for I have found where it is written that Jesus said, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." This is the future and hope of this world. Not that the world will survive, but that we shall be overcomers in the midst of a dying world. Betsy and I, in the concentration camp, prayed that God would heal Betsy, who was so weak and sick. "Yes, the Lord will heal me," Betsy said with confidence. She died the next day, and I could not understand it. They laid her thin body on the concrete floor, along with all the other corpses of the women who had died that day. It was hard for me to understand, to believe that God had a purpose for all that. And yet, because of Betsy's death, today I'm traveling all over the world telling people about Jesus. There are some among us teaching there will be no tribulation, that the Christians will be able to escape all this. These are the false teachers that Jesus was warning us to expect in the latter days. Most of them have little knowledge of what is already going on across the world. I have been in countries where the saints are already suffering terrible persecution. In China, the Christians were told, "Don't worry, before the tribulation comes, you will be translated, raptured." Then came a terrible persecution. Millions of Christians were tortured to death. Later, I heard a bishop from China say, sadly, "We have failed. We should have made the people strong for persecution rather than telling them that Jesus would come first. Tell the people how to be strong in times of persecution, how to stand when the tribulation comes, to stand and not faint." I feel I have a divine mandate to go and tell the people of this world that it is possible to be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in training for the tribulation, but more than 60% of the body of Christ across the world has already entered the tribulation. There's no way to escape it. We are next. Since I have already gone through prison for Jesus' sake, and since I met the bishop in China, now every time I read a good Bible text, I think, hey, I can use that in the time of tribulation. Then I write it down, and I learn it by heart. When I was in the concentration camp, a camp where only 20% of the women came out alive, we tried to cheer each other up by saying, "Nothing could be any worse than today." But we would find the next day was even worse. During this time, a Bible verse that I had committed to memory gave me great hope and joy. It says, "If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, evil is spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified," 1 Peter 3:14. I found myself saying, "Hallelujah, because I am suffering, Jesus is glorified." In America, the churches sing, "Let the congregation escape tribulation." But in China and Africa, the tribulation has already arrived. This last year alone, more than 200,000 Christians were martyred in Africa. Now things like that never get into the newspapers because they cause bad political reactions and relations. But I know. I've been there. We need to think about that when we sit down in our nice houses with our nice clothes to eat our steak dinners. Many, many members of the body of Christ are being tortured to death at this very moment, and yet we continue right on as though we're all going to escape the tribulation. Several years ago, I was in Africa, in a nation where a new government had come into power. The first night I was there, some of the Christians were commanded to come to the police station to register. When they arrived, they were arrested, and that same night, they were executed. The next day, the same thing happened with other Christians. The third day, it was the same. All the Christians in the district were being systematically murdered. The fourth day I was to speak in a little church. The people came, but they were filled with tears and fear and tension. All during the service, they were looking at each other, their eyes asking, "Will this one that I am sitting beside be the next one killed? Will I be the next one?" The room was hot and stuffy with insects that came through the screenless windows and swirled around the naked bulbs over the bare wooden benches. I told them a story out of my childhood. "When I was a little girl," I said, "I went to my father and I said, 'Daddy, I'm afraid that I'll never be strong enough to be a martyr for Jesus Christ. Tell me, said Father, when you take a train trip to Amsterdam, when do I give you the money for the ticket? 3 weeks before? No, Daddy, you give me the money for the ticket just before we get on the train. That's right, my father said, and so it is with God's strength. Our Father in heaven knows when you will need the strength to be a martyr for Jesus Christ. He'll supply all you need, just in time. My African friends were nodding and smiling, and suddenly a spirit of joy descended upon that church, and the people began singing, "In the sweet by and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore." Well, later that week, half the congregation of that church was executed. I heard later that the other half was killed some months ago. But I must tell you something. I was so happy that the Lord used me to encourage these people, for unlike many of their leaders, I had the Word of God. I had been to the Bible and discovered that Jesus said he had not only overcome the world, but to all those who remained faithful to the end, he would give a crown of life. The prosecutor interrupts the story. I'm hurting inside as I listen to your story, Corey. How are God's people in the West going to get ready for what is coming? Well, Corey says, I shall continue reading from that same letter. First, we need to feed on the Word of God, digest it, make it a part of our being. This will mean disciplined Bible study each day, as we not only memorize long passages of Scripture, but put the principles to work in our lives. Next, we need to develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just the Jesus of yesterday or the Jesus of history, but the life-changing Jesus of today, who is still alive and sitting at the right hand of God. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is no optional command of the Bible. It is absolutely necessary. Those earthly disciples could never have stood up under the persecution of the Jews and Romans had they not waited for Pentecost. Each of us needs our own personal Pentecost, a baptism in the Holy Spirit. We will never be able to stand in the tribulation without it. In the coming persecution, we must be ready to help each other and encourage each other. But we must not wait until the tribulation comes before starting. The fruit of the Spirit should be the dominant force of every Christian's life. Many are fearful of the coming tribulation. They want to run. I too am a little bit afraid when I think that after all my 80 years, including the horrible Nazi concentration camp, that I might have to go through the tribulation also. But then I read the Bible, and I am glad. When I am weak, then I shall be strong. That's what the Bible says. Betsy and I were prisoners for the Lord. We were so weak, but we got power because the Holy Spirit was on us. That mighty inner strengthening of the Holy Spirit helped us through. No, you will not be strong in yourself when the tribulation comes. Rather, you will be strong in the power of Him who will not forsake you. For 76 years I have known the Lord Jesus, and not once has He ever left me or let me down. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him, Job 13:15. For I know that to all who overcome, He shall give the crown of life. Hallelujah. End of letter. But we say hallelujah also. Corrie ten Boom, we owe you a great debt today. Thank you for sharing with us. The church has always suffered persecution. Why should it be taught that the final generation of Christians, those facing the coming of Antichrist, would be an exception and spared? Why? Next we'll hear from Michael Brown. Like so many in today's church, he's not 100% accepted. I know of nobody who's 100% accepted. But what he has to say about our subject, I think, will be very helpful for you. Please come back. Thank you so much for sharing with me today. Do take a look at my other recordings here on Sermon Audio. There are 3,500 plus audios of Christian teaching and readings covering over 200 topics. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.